And welcome to another Pigcast, the podcast series by MSD Animal Health for and by professionals in the swine sector. I'm Bex Rivara, the European Director for Swine at MSD Animal Health, and today I have the pleasure of talking to Vincent Tabeek from Pig Progress, the editor of Pig Progress. Before I get started, Vincent, do you want to give a little bit of your background?
Oh, thank you for the kind introduction. I'm happy to be here. I'm also in the media, so a microphone doesn't look entirely strange for me. I've been editor of Pig Progress for the last 18 years now, so I've been in the swine industry for quite some time. We started out only having magazines, and then gradually over time we developed the website, newsletters, doing podcast webinars. So yeah, you really have to be a jack of all trades these days. And perhaps good to know, I didn't go to veterinary college. I didn't do animal science, nothing of the sort. I studied history and journalism, so I have the worst possible education to actually be on a swine podcast. But
not at all. Actually, you're very knowledgeable about our subjects we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we're here at ESHPM mm-hmm. in Thessaloniki in Greece. Mm-hmm. We know you've been one of our speakers in this international congress, mm-hmm. And we wanted to share some of your time today. And really, we wanted to talk about livestock communication mm-hmm. and consumer trends. Mm-hmm. So I've got a few questions I'll throw at sure. you, and we'll see how our conversation develops. Mm-hmm. So let's start with, mm-hmm. do we as a livestock industry sector within the industry mm-hmm. communicate properly? And if not, mm-hmm. why not?
My question would be, communicating to whom?
I think as we're talking about communication and consumers, perhaps to our consumers.
Well, to be honest, I can only give you the example of what I experienced prior to entering the swine industry. I had no idea what was happening. It really felt like entering the wizardry world of Harry Potter, so to say. I had no idea. I didn't even know pigs were castrated before that, for instance. And so, no, whatever happens in the swine industry was completely oblivious to me. And I'm pretty sure that the majority of people have no idea what's happening in pig farms. Okay. So, no, there is no communication whatsoever.
And why do you think we are like that as a sector?
Nobody ever bothered.
Okay.
I think what I'm working now in is an industry that is highly B2B related. So companies in the industry communicate to other people who are also working in the industry. But for MSD Animal Health, there's no reason to be known by the general audience. And that applies to, I think, most of the companies who are working in the industry. They want to let their communication go out to the people that they feel are relevant to them. Because, for instance, when I'm at the vet to get stuff for my cat, I always look at the products that they give me for the animal, and then I see which pharmaceutical company actually made the medication for my cat. And then I walk out there, and I think I'm probably one of the very few people actually for whom these names actually made sense.
Yeah. But if we stepped back from mm-hmm. MSD Animal Health yeah. and we just thought about the pig sector in mm-hmm. general, about yeah. communicating with the consumer, mm-hmm. you know, do you think it's something we should be doing more of? We should be more proactive about, you know, not we as a pharmaceutical company, mm-hmm. but we as part of the pig sector in general.
I don't think it would hurt if the general public knew a little bit more about what was going on. I mean, obviously, you run the risk that more people would feel, oh, but if this is how it's happening in the swine industry, I don't want to eat pork anymore. But perhaps that's the risk you want to take, because currently the only ones who are communicating about what's going on in pig farms are the ones you'd rather not hear, because that's the welfarists.
Yeah.
So, you run the risk of being told, okay, that's all, a bad correspondence, or that's all marketing, what you're just telling us. But yeah, it wouldn't hurt, I think, if the people just had a better idea of what is going on, because the majority have no idea.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, my second question was going to be, do you yeah. think we are succeeding in, you know, touching the heart of the consumers that we're dealing with? And I'm guessing you're going to say no to that.
They just buy that piece of pork, and for the rest, they don't think about it.
Yeah.
Then they have absolutely no idea.
And what do you think the benefits of mm-hmm. increase in communication with consumers might be?
Well, I think it helps them to be better prepared to understand what they are about to see. Because when they now are being confronted with images shared by animal health welfare organizations, it is always framed in a direction that actually leaves no other option than, no, well, we should stop eating meat or we should get rid of the industry altogether. Whereas if people had been better informed and know both sides of the coins, then at least they can say, oh, yeah, okay, there's one of these guys trying to tell the story from that angle.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of, if you have no idea and this is the only information you keep being fed.
Agreed. Mm. We've sort of left a bit of an empty space on the other side of the table, haven't we, for mm-hmm. the discussion. So, yeah, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you think anything's changed since the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of public image of the industry?
I don't think it makes that much of a difference. I think we've had a couple of stories that also slaughterhouses or processors had difficulty getting everything processed, and the market changed temporarily. That hit the news for a while, but yeah, that comes and goes, I suppose. And people still want to have their piece of pork or their schnitzel or whatever, and that just continues.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Okay. So what perspectives mm-hmm. May exist for the pig industry, so both for pig producers as well as pork consumers, mm-hmm. in years to come, inside Europe and beyond?
That's a wide question, what perspectives. Well, I would like to touch a little bit on the presentation that I've also given. I think it would be good if the swine industry in general would open up a little bit more and would also be willing to share what's going on, tell their stories. And yeah, you have a bit of a conflict of interest there, because if you share what's going on in your swine farm, in some countries you would also have to share that you castrate or dock tails or kind of lock up the sows for part of their lives. And yeah, so on the one hand you want to be transparent, and on the other hand you think, oh, if I share that, then people are going to ask questions about that. So this is why I believe that we need to ask ourselves whether these practices in the long term should be continuing to exist.
Yeah.
Because if you can just show, this is what's happening in our farm, I'm proud of it, and we're not trying to make the animals fit into the system, rather we have made the systems to accommodate the animals.
Yeah.
I think in the long run that helps to also open up to the audience and create a better understanding. I think that's essential, because the people in the cities are continuing to rise. So whatever is happening in the cities is going to have even more dominant influence on what's happening inside the pig barns than it used to do.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the world, there is I think this is the developments in Europe, and the rest of the world has a different outlook for now. I think quite a lot of the world is still or trying to make sure that everybody has something to eat. So, yeah, they're not in a luxury position to actually ask themselves, oh, how can we keep our animals better? No, for them, it's just a matter of making sure that there is food on the table.
Yeah.
So they have a longer way to go, I think. But,
agreed. Mm-hmm. So perhaps focusing on the European part of the sector, mm-hmm. how would we go about opening up the consumer? So do you think that's something that we should engage with the press, and that it should be, something we can get there? Mm-hmm. I know the dairy industry, they in the UK, they mm-hmm. started doing things like open farm Sundays.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a biosecurity piece in there mm-hmm. for us with pig production. Mm-hmm. But how could we go about touching the consumer more?
Now, obviously, using the press, I would always applaud.
Slightly biased there.
Yeah. No, but I think what I've seen in the Netherlands quite often, that when they make new pig farms, they make sure that there's some kind of a balcony where kind of a shop window, so actually visitors could come to the farm, could actually be at this balcony and look through the window and see what's going on inside the pig house. And increasing amount of pig farms have that. So sometimes you see couples just driving through the countryside with their bicycles, as we do in the Netherlands, and they can stop at the farm, take a cup of coffee, have a look what's going on in the pig farm. Oh, how nice they've see. Then and so for them it's kind of a stop. They could learn a little bit and then move on. So yeah, then you kind of integrate a little bit of tourism, but you also show that you want to be open.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to show that you're open, you're already showing, okay, we have nothing to hide here. So I think that's the mentality you want to follow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And do you think in terms of timescales for us to make that change as mm-hmm. an industry, you know, would you could you put a prediction on how long it would take for everyone to follow suit in that regard?
That's difficult, I think. It will be an ongoing change. I think by the time we would be there, then there would be other requests again. And so it never stops developing. Yeah. But I just think that it would help if people would embrace that attitude more, and that with the construction of future farms, for instance, and they say, okay, well, we're going to include something like that. So if people want to take a look, they're welcome. Because that's one thing we didn't touch about, but with increased biosecurity, it's been done for good reasons, but it also means that the pigs remain hidden from sight from many people. So many people ask me, do you know how to distinguish between a pig farm or a poultry farm from the outside? Because the general public, they have no idea.
Yeah.
One of these things that,
I agree. Big lock gates and...
they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Obviously, we've had some really challenging conditions in the market. Mm-hmm. We've had unstable markets. We've had raw material shortages, mm-hmm. inflation, energy prices. Mm-hmm. Do you think livestock farming is a risky profession more than ever?
No, I don't think so. I think the livestock industry is a fairly stable industry to stay in. Unlike, for instance, I say the car industry they're dependent on highs and lows, and whenever there is a crisis, then everybody stops buying cars. Well, everybody has to continue eating. So I think the industry is rather unaffected by economical conditions. I think what we're seeing is that everything gets more expensive, and so does meat. And I think it's inevitable that meat is going to get more expensive in the future, simply because we keep asking for more requirements for the producers to meet. And so that's inevitable. But I think that's only fair because our swine producers deserve a good income.
Very good. Do you think there's anything that we could be asking for or trying to do as a community to stabilize, the industry in terms of the economics of the industry?
You mean that the prices wouldn't go up, you mean?
Just maybe to avoid some of the fluctuations that we've been seeing. I think we end up inevitably with a very, we're either having a really great financial outlook in the pig industry or a very poor financial outlook. We don't ever seem to have a steady trend that we can follow. If you agree with that analysis.
No, I understand. But I think that's one of the characteristics of the pig cycle, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you kind of making enormous amounts of money, and then you just are happy that you have some money left in the bank account because there's a few years that you have to get by. I think that's just characteristic of the swine industry.
That's fair. That's fair. If farms continue to close in Western Europe, where will we get food, do you think, of animal origin?
I think what we see that the closing is happening at the moment in Germany, in the Netherlands, we're having a hard time. I think Belgium as well. UK once was a big market, but I understand our friends in Spain are currently working hard to make up for that. So it will be a bit of a waterbed, I think, that once it disappears here and it comes up elsewhere. But if I can speak for the situation in the Netherlands for myself, we seem to be producing three times as much as we eat in our country. So, for instance, I don't want it to happen, but we could get rid of two-thirds of the swine producers and still manage to cater for our own pork. So, perhaps that would be where it starts. Maybe the exporting is getting less so that it doesn't really affect the self-sufficiency of countries.
Okay. Very good. We've touched on a few topics now, around the industry. Mm-hmm. Is there consumer trends that you think we'll see in the future around, I suppose where I'm going is we obviously want to encourage people to be eating more pork and choosing it as an option and engaging our consumers in making it a healthy option to, you know, to select when they're thinking of their weekly meal plan. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you think that we should do? Perhaps anything you've seen in other industries that you think the pork industry should think about to engage with the consumer a bit more in that way?
That's hard to think. One of the things perhaps is to anticipate on that they're developing products that are not of meat origin, but plant-based proteins, for instance, and everything. And there is quite often the question, is that a threat or something that we should embrace? But if pork products could be mixed, and especially the ones that you can't recognize as a quality pork product, for instance, minced meat, for instance, that you don't recognize the origin of the animal anymore in it. If that could be teamed up with plant-based protein, for instance, that could help us to make it maybe more affordable, or I think that we should embrace it, and things like the pork chop or the better pieces could be valorized a little bit more. That could be an option for the rest. Yeah, I think people would just like to have a diversified menu, so they wouldn't eat one piece all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that No, I don't think that there's a lot of room for change, I would say. No.
I agree. I think, you know, we're trying to get away from, in the UK, pork's a very traditional, it's our Sunday roast.
Oh, yeah,
we have
there
a big
go.
Joint of pork, but I think it's, you know,
and
how
then
a
breakfast,
consumers to
breakfast as well.
And our bacon, obviously.
No?
Brilliant. So I think I could continue talking to you all day, but we probably should go and join some of our colleagues back over in the conference centre and join the Congress here in Thessaloniki. But I wanted to thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your opinions.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be at the other side of the microphone for a while, for once. And yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So... friends, we'll meet again in another PigCast at ESHPM in 2023. Remember, you can listen to all the podcasts, PigCasts, MSD Animal Health Series, visiting our website, as well as on any of the major listening platforms. Thank you. Many greetings from the entire MSD Animal Health Swine team.